So why are we using platitudes? It seems so obvious that it's the wrong way to do it, but everybody is doing it. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on answering that question because I want to get to the solution quickly for you. But the answer to this question is actually more important than you realize. Understanding the answer to this question is essential in order for you to be able to fix the problem. So have you ever seen the invisible gorilla experiment? If not, let me explain it to you. The experiment was devised by Dan Simons, who received his PhD in experimental psychology from Cornell University. You can find the video on YouTube by typing in Invisible Gorilla. Anyhow, in the video, there are three students with white shirts and three students with black shirts. The white team passes a basketball to one another, and the black team does the same thing. The catch is that they're all moving around and walking amongst each other, and your job as the observer is to count how many times the team with the white shirts passes the ball to one another. That's it. The video only lasts about 20 seconds. Here's where it gets funny. In the middle of the video, a guy wearing a gorilla suit walks right into the video frame, stands right in front of the camera, faces the camera, leans back, pounds his chest, and then walks out of the camera frame. It's hilarious. He's right there in front of your face pounding his chest. Guess what? Most people watching the video never see the gorilla. I'm serious. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. Years ago, when this video first came out, I bought a license from Dan to use this video in my training seminars. I showed the video to hundreds of people, and my personal experience has been that well over 80% I show it to never see the gorilla. In fact, I always hope that at least one person in the group sees the gorilla. Because if not, my audience accuses me of showing two different videos. You know why? Humans simply cannot believe that a man in a gorilla suit can walk right in front of their face, pound its chest, and walk away without them ever noticing it. But it's true. It's amazingly true. You see, this is just part of human nature. The reason why it happens is because the viewer is distracted counting basketball passes. If the viewer was not given a task of counting basketball passes, essentially 100% of the people would see the gorilla. But because the people are distracted with another task, they completely miss the incredible, awesome things happening right in front of them. This is the exact same way street magicians and pickpockets operate. They're called masters of misdirection because they have learned how to focus your attention on something else while they're stealing your wallet or pulling a card from a card deck to impress you. Think about how that applies to your work. Are you pretty focused on running your business? I bet you are. I bet you are a very effective and focused business person who runs his or her business pretty efficiently, or at least you're trying. Think about how that pertains to marketing. If you're distracted by industry news reports, inventory, profit and loss sheets, HR issues, turnover, insurance, sales forecasts, personnel problems, payroll, and the other 259 relevant issues that you need to pay attention to so you can effectively run your business, it's highly probable that some very obvious and important gorillas are pounding their chest right in front of your face and you're missing them altogether. In fact, the same goes for other areas of your life, like your relationships, your family, your health, your faith, and other important things. You really should consider that. Anyhow, we're talking about marketing right now. I want to help you to understand where this invisible gorilla came from in marketing and advertising. For the sake of this discussion, the invisible gorilla represents two common mistakes that we just discussed. That is, using platitudes and using fragmented marketing. In order to understand this, we have to take a quick trip down memory lane. So let's go back to the late 1800s. Back then, advertising in America was done mostly on a local or regional level, and because of that, the advertising was very comparative in nature, and the competition was pretty fierce. Advertisers didn't use lame platitudes. Instead, they were very specific about why you should buy from them and not their competitors. This continued all the way to the middle of the 20th century. And then the most significant change in the history of advertising came to America around 1945. It was then that television was first introduced commercially to America. By the time the 50s rolled around, the typical American family had one television set, but it only received three channels. But here's the thing. People were enamored by this new device, and they basically sat around every night watching it. It was a powerful opportunity. Some of the biggest companies in the country saw the opportunity and jumped on it. They realized that they could reach pretty much everybody in the whole country using the TV, and that they could do it for pretty cheap. I mean, they could buy a TV commercial and reach just about everybody in the entire country for around $4,000 a minute. I mean, this was the deal of the century, even in 1950s money. So once this began to catch on, the price for commercials skyrocketed. It's simple supply and demand. Local and regional advertisers started disappearing because they couldn't afford the higher rates. So the ads were all dominated by larger national companies, and since these large advertisers were already large national distributors, the results of these TV commercials were huge. So they happily paid the money. As the advertising prices rose, the length of the average commercial shrunk down and down until it finally reached an average of 30 seconds. You might not remember it, but they used to be about 2 minutes long. Here's why this is important to you. With only 30 seconds available, advertisers lost the opportunity to really educate their prospects. There wasn't enough time available. So instead, they started using slogans. They didn't explain why they were better, what their unique selling proposition was, or what gave them a competitive edge. Instead, it was all slogans and platitudes simply because of lack of time. Large advertisers discovered, because there were relatively few competitors competing on the national stage, that they could just spend the money and win automatically. They didn't have to be better. They didn't have to be unique. They didn't have to offer better service or quality. They could simply pony up the big bucks for the TV commercials and then laugh all the way to the bank. If there were a few competitors, well, fine, because there was enough business to split two or three ways. This is why we ended up with two or three major players in most industries. We have Ford, GM, and Chrysler. There's Pepsi and Coke. What happened is that advertisements lost their penchant for sales and marketing function and instead became all about creativity and design. Hey, let's create something funny, creative, or cute, and then imprint it on everybody's brain, playing it a billion times on TV, and we'll win. Melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Don't leave home without it. Fly the friendly skies. Aren't you glad you used Dial? Or how about this one? Don't squeeze the... That's right, don't squeeze the Charmin. How did you know that? That commercial hasn't run for several decades. Anyhow, creativity, slogans, and platitudes took over and filled every advertising medium. Radio, newspapers, magazines, billboards, yellow pages, you name it. In fact, they even teach this kind of junk in business schools and universities because they think this is the way to do it. Hey, after all, these big companies have made their billions doing marketing this way, so it must be the way to do it, right? Yeah, not quite. Not even close. So here's the big problem. Nearly everybody today involved in advertising and marketing, including the marketing graduates, marketing directors, business owners, and advertising salespeople, all grew up in an era of creativity, slogans, and platitudes. So what do they do when it's time to create their own marketing and advertising? Well, they call upon their memory bank and pull up all the advertising and marketing that they ever saw in their life and use it as a model to create their own advertising and marketing. And the result is that they come up with a bunch of platitudes and lame slogans. It's the invisible gorilla in the advertising agency. Everybody's doing it the wrong way, even in your industry. But here's the beautiful part about it all. The first one to fix this problem wins. If you'll take a step back and look at the marketplace again, you'll see that there's a big gorilla pounding its chest at you. If you'll just follow the methodology I'm about to teach you, you can take your company on the path of total dominance.